Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode as we're continuing the Thanos reading order. It's also a 12 Days of the Comic Source episode. We hope you're enjoying all the content we're putting out for you as we're counting down to Christmas. We want to wish everybody a safe and happy holiday season and a Merry Christmas. We hope that our love of comics is coming across as we're putting out all this content for you, so that you can share in that love of comics and celebrate your own love of comics, because we all could use as much positivity as we can get in this crazy year of our Lord 2020. So as I said, we're continuing the Thanos reading order. We're right in the middle of the sort of classic Jim Starlin era of Thanos. And this is the second Warlock issue that we're covering, issue 10, a really awesome cover. We've got some dichromatic profiles of Thanos and the Magus kind of facing off against each other on the side of the cover from either side. At the bottom, it says Thanos versus the Magus with Warlock caught in the middle. In the middle of the cover, we see Warlock is there in full color fighting a bunch of soldiers from the Church of Universal Truth. So as we head into the issue, How Strange, My Destiny, Part 1, Chapter 1, there's a little bit of exposition here. And we're told, welcome to the Who's Who of Outer Space Department, or how can you tell the monsters from the heroes without a program? Entering stage center, the first of 25,000 religious fanatics called the Black Knights of the Church of Universal Truth. And we know that the Magus had ordered everybody in this particular chamber in the Holy Palace to be killed. So that's what these Black Knights are up to. And it says they've been ordered by the Magus, their god they worship, to kill everyone in this particular compartment. And then on the other side of the page, occupying stage center, we're told the victims from right to left: Gamora, Thanos' beautiful but deadly assistant, Adam Warlock, our hero and a man pitted against his own inner self and the people who worship that self as a deity, because obviously the Magus is the evil future self of Adam Warlock that's come from the past. And I know it's kind of confusing, but we'll get to that. And then Thanos himself, the Dark Titan, who's come to Warlock's aid for his own sinister purposes, because we know Thanos never does anything that's not in his own best interest. And then Pip, the troll, who is generally useless. And we all know that as well. He's kind of cowardly when it comes to that. One of the things about these Starlin issues, you know, he does so much of the heavy lifting himself. He's plotting, he's scripting, he's doing the colors oftentimes. And obviously inking himself, or not inking himself, but the illustration. And so sometimes they'll choose an interesting way to write down who's doing what, or who the creators are on a particular issue. And this one's interesting of note. It basically runs all their last names together. So it says a Wolfman, Starlin, Lay, Aloha, or Zakowski production. So don't even give the first names. Marv Wolfman, editor, Jim Starlin handling all those duties. As I said, Steve Lowe at Lay Aloha does inks, then Tom Orzechowski is doing the letters. I only know that because I know my comics. You know, somebody reading this wouldn't have any idea who those people were. So anyway, as all these Black Knights are rushing in, they're saying death to the enemies of our Lord, destroy the infidels. And Thanos is having none of it. He's swatting them aside, using his death rays from his eyes, saying, away from me, don't touch me, you blind fools. And you know, that's in reference to their kind of blind, following their blind faith in the Magus. And Thanos also goes on to say, and don't touch this golden simpleton either, referring to Adam Warlock, even though he's apparently resigned himself to just lay down and die. I have news for you, Warlock. He says, I still may be able to save your gleaming hide, but I can't do it alone. I need your help. So fight, blast you, fight. And that shakeup, that Thanos, you know, yelling at Adam Warlock, seems to spark new life in him, you know, because we saw at the end of last issue, he was laying in a heap on the floor saying that, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm eventually going to be this ruler and have all this power. But he was despondent because in order for all that to happen, he was going to lose his humanity, which he values more than anything. And the other part of it is he doesn't want to rule, like not the morally upstanding Adam Warlock. He has no ambitions for that. So, you know, to see his future self and be unable to stop him left him kind of apathetic, right? He sort of resigned himself to his fate, but he seems to be, you know, pulled back from the brink of that despondency by Thanos, and he lashes out and he starts fighting. And Thanos calls out to Gamora and she says, yep, I'm ready. I'm right by your side, master. Your left flank is well protected. And so with Gamora on one side and Adam Warlock on the other, keeping any of the Black Knights, any of the soldiers of the Universal Truth from actually physically getting to Thanos. Thanos, you know, behind this protective barricade that they're physically creating for him with their own bodies, he just starts dishing out the punishment, you know, blast from either hand, force blast, the death rays from his eyes. And as General Aegis looks on, he's thinking to himself, you know, I thought the Magus was kind of crazy that I needed to send, you know, all 25,000 Black Knights to kill four unarmed intruders, right? Like the Magus must be cracking up. But as he's watching all this punishment be dished out, he starts thinking, so maybe the Magus was right. This might not even be enough. It might not be 25,000. I might need 50,000. And as the battle itself rages on, we're told that the combatants start having to climb a veritable mountain of dead and dying Black Knights, which, I mean, it's great. And it's a great visual when you turn the page. I think it's page 5 or page 6, the first panel. We literally see a mountain of dead bodies that Thanos and Adam Warlock and Gamora are on top of. And it's kind of ludicrous. It's funny, but at the same time, you know, all these Black Knights are coming in through one door. That's kind of a pinch point. So as long as you kill them as they come in the door, the bodies are going to start piling up and they're going to block. And then you don't have to fight all 25,000, or they can, you know, pull the bodies out of the way. And again, you're not literally like what you're going to take time out of the battle to like literally climb. Like how do the bodies build up underneath your feet? It doesn't make sense. But again, it's comics and it's 70s and it's fun. So don't think about it too much, but obviously that horse has already left the barn in my case. But my point being that 25,000 and these four, and really three and a half or even three, because you can't really count Pip the Troll. As I mentioned, he's pretty cowardly and hasn't been of much help here. Even these are not going to be enough, even as powerful as they are, to fight them all off. And we're told as all things in this universe have their limit, that includes Thanos's power. And so soon he goes from blasting with his eyes and his force beams from his hands, and he's using direct hand-to-hand combat and only using his bolts of energy when it's absolutely necessary. But then even that, you know, he begins to tire. So Thanos calls out to Warlock saying, the situation's become unworkable. We need to retreat. And apparently there are stairs in this room. And hadn't known that before, but head for the stairs this way then. Cause you kind of wonder if there were stairs, why didn't they try to leave sooner? Why were they fighting on a literal mountain of bodies? But they do make their retreat and they're running from the soldiers with them pursuing the Black Knights. Pip the Troll is saying, boy, oh boy, I'm glad to get out of there. I couldn't have guarded the rear any longer. And Gamora's like, wait, you were guarding our rear? I must have missed that. I only noticed you kind of cowering behind Thanos. And Pip says, that was just a clever ruse to throw my enemy off guard. And Warlock says, well, Pip, we're not going to need your cleverness anymore, because as soon as we get through this door that Thanos is blasting open, we can lose ourselves in the night of the city. But as they walk through the doorway, they look out over the city. And as far as the eye can see, there's just soldiers like crowding the streets around the Holy Palace. And there's no escape there. So those soldiers immediately start charging up the stairs, and Thanos says, we can still escape, even though all sides and the skyward retreat are cut off. Do you follow me, Adam Warlock? And Adam says, yes. Below us, where we stand, is the palace's subsection. And if we can just break through the floor, we can find an escape below us. So Adam basically punches through the ground, and Gamora and Pip the Troll jump down there as well. But before Thanos can follow them, there's a big explosion, and Thanos is unable to follow, with Gamora calling out, the master is trapped up there. And Adam Warlock's telling her, well, you know, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do for him. We got to concentrate on getting out of this room that we're in. And he lifts up a section of the wall saying, I'm not sure how I know, but there are secret passages here. And Thanos claimed there's a way to defeat the Magus. And if there is a way, then we must find it. I must find it. And I've got less than 2.5 hours to do this. And we can't afford to take time to go back for fallen comrades. And he goes on to say, and I have a feeling that Thanos is capable of handling that situation back there anyway. So Pip the Troll's kind of wondering where they are. And Gamora's saying, well, it looks like we're in a honeycombed area underneath the palace. In fact, directly under the main part of the palace right now, if I'm not mistaken. But what I'm not sure is why we've come down this way. And Adam Warlock says, I'm not really sure either. I'm just kind of guessing at the route. To be honest, I'm not even sure how I know where to turn, how I know my way through this maze. And as he's saying that, he's thinking to himself, I'm no longer sure of anything. 2 days, I was so confident in my mind and my body, I could handle any situation. And now I realize that my body's nothing more than, you know, a useless shell for my ego and my mind. And it's all going to be twisted to become the magus someday. And I'll be everything that I despise. And I didn't want to believe it when I first battled the magus. And I had such a hard time accepting it. And now I've seen it all come true. I've seen it all come to pass, everything that he's told me. And as we turn the page, we get a montage, one of those classic Jim Starlin montages, and a huge info dump in prose that's basically recapping the story so far, with Adam Warlock talking about the foes that he's fought and how he came to understand the vampiric nature of the soul gem and how it would suck the souls out of people, and they would basically live in Adam Warlock's head, and how he found that to be evil, and he vowed not to use the soul gem anymore. But even with the power of the soul gem, he wasn't able to keep himself from being captured and brainwashed by the Universal Church. And luckily he was able to escape before he was fully brainwashed. But that's exactly what the Magus wished him to do. The Magus was pulling the strings all along. And everything that Adam Warlock has gone through, the insanity and the warped view of reality, it's all been necessary. And it's why the Magus has been manipulating things. Some level of insanity is required so that Adam Warlock will eventually metamorphose into the Magus. So now that Adam Warlock has been bathed in that radiation, that's basically a beacon for the in-betweener. The in-betweener is on his way to take Adam Warlock to his dimension, the one that's, you know, between reality and illusion, between time and space. And there the transformation will be complete. Adam Warlock will fully transform from Adam Warlock into the Magus and then travel back. He'll come back to our actuality, is the way Starlin puts it, back to our reality, but 5,000 years in the past, where he founds the Church of Universal Truth and then basically, you know, uses those ensuing 5,000 years to enslave all the planets around him and start his march toward galactic domination. So, you know, we learned all this last issue when the Magus basically revealed his plan, doing his best imitation of a James Bond villain. And then Thanos showed up, offered aid, and before Thanos could even accept his offer, all the 25,000 Black Knights started attacking, and that brings us up to present time. So again, Adam Warlock is kind of going over all this information in his mind and thinking about trying to find a way out of it. And at the same time, wondering, where am I going? I'm worried that my mind is already twisted and I'm soon going to find myself becoming everything that I despise, like I mentioned earlier. But yet my mind is already subconsciously aware of what's going on, and it's kind of leading me to somewhere on this level. And I'm not even sure where. And as he turns the corner, he's kind of in the central chamber of the caves or catacombs below the castle. And there he finds the matriarch, the former leader of the Universal Truth, the figurehead that the Magus had installed to lure Adam Warlock and capture him. And that's what started the whole process of the near brainwashing and, you know, getting us to the point that we are now. And the matriarch's in a bad way. You know, we saw last issue that she was sentenced to die, be martyred basically by Magus for her failure, publicly for her failure, but in actuality for her betrayal of the Magus, which he engineered, again, himself always pulling the strings. So like I said, she's in a bad way. She thinks Adam Warlock is Death himself. She says, is that you, Death? Have you finally come to deliver me from this pain? And Adam says, no, it's Adam Warlock. And she's actually glad to see him. She's like, well, I didn't want to die alone, so I'm glad you're here. And, you know, I failed to serve the Magus properly. So this is the penance for my sin. What are you doing here? And Adam says, well, I too am here to pay for the evil within me, obviously in a different way, but the matriarch doesn't understand that. She doesn't know that the Magus is a future version of Adam Warlock, but she says, okay, well, that means we both lost to the Magus, you know, how sad. And I guess we were both destined to be losers. We set our sights too high. I wanted to be a goddess. You wanted to slay a god. And we should have realized that we can't accomplish those things alone. She's like, the only thing you can do alone when you're truly alone is that you can do properly is die. And she dies right there in Adam Warlock's arms. And he lays her to rest saying, you know, sorry, if I'd only known, I would have, you know, I probably would have done exactly the same thing. Only it would be harder now that I have the knowledge. Because all I ever do is ask why. Not seeing the truth before me, it seems to be my nature to question and never to answer. And I now realize that to seek but never find it, it's my destiny. And the only thing I don't understand is why. Like, why am I this way? Why do I always seek out the truth and never find the answers? You know, why must life be so cruel? Why is there mystery? Why is there so much pain? Like, he's really going all out with the angst here, which is very Starlin in its narration. And we hear a voice off panel saying, that's because that is the way of life. And Pip turns around and says, who? And we see Thanos there. Apparently he escaped the battle on the stairs outside. And he answers Adam Warlock's question. He says, yeah, for every action, there must be a reaction. Every give, there must be a take. Every pleasure, there must be a pain. And you, unlike myself, have chosen the path of living. We know Thanos is all about death. Thanos, you, unlike myself, have chosen the path of living. You must learn to be one with that life, or it will destroy you, Adam. The only way to do this is to pay its price, and its price is pain. So I kind of like what Thanos is saying here for all his evilness. You know, pain tells you you're still alive. And by still being alive, you can affect change. So if you want to embrace life, life is living. Living is experiencing pain, which then proves to you that you're alive. Not the best way and kind of a cynical way to look at it, or maybe a little bit of a sadist or masochistic way to look at it, but there is some truth there. And we're told this is the end of part one. Now, part two, who is Thanos? And Captain Marvel is breaking the fourth wall, speaking directly to us ourselves. So I'm not going to go over these next two pages because it's basically just a recap of everything that happened in the Captain Marvel series with the Cosmic Cube and Captain Marvel eventually destroying the cube. We do see at the end of the second page, this is the first time that we're told what happened to Thanos after. It says, unknown to me at the time, the cube's destruction just forced Thanos to return to mortal form. You know, he had been as big as the universe, and he shrunk down from the size of the universe to the size of a normal man floating unconscious at the center of the universe. And then that's where the Thanos annual that we talked about last time picks up, which is highly, highly recommended and fills in the what happens between him floating there and when Thanos shows up here in Adam Warlock, or actually, I guess, issue 9 of Adam Warlock. So highly recommend that. But if you were reading it at the time, you know, and you saw Thanos show up on the last page of issue 9, it was a surprise that he even survived. And this is just a little blurb saying, yeah, so this is what happened, even though it's not fully explained. But I do love how the editors talk directly to us because, you know, back in the day, there was no social media. You didn't really get a chance to meet people and talk to comic creators. So this was a little bit of personal interaction. Here, they're doing it through Captain Marvel. So it's Captain Marvel breaking the fourth wall and talking to us. It's not as fun. I think it's more fun. And Thanos and Starlin and his gang of creators, most of the time as editor, they'll speak directly to us and, you know, sign it Jim or whatever. And it harkens back to those times when companies used to, if a character referenced something that happened in another comic or in the past, they'd put a little asterisk and then tell you what series and what issue and then sign it. You know, a lot of those you see back in the day, say Roy in the Marvel comics, because Roy Thomas being the editor. And I like that. And they got away from it for a long time. It's come back a little bit now. So the other thing about this is, you know, Marvel used to do this. A lot of comic companies used to do this because they had that theory that every comic was a person's first. And if they're picking it up, you want to get them caught up to some extent. Sometimes it'd be a few panels, the most rudimentary of, hey, here's a recap. Here's what's going on. Here's what you need to know. And now Marvel, they at least put inside the front cover, usually a paragraph to kind of bring people along, but like don't really have the real estate anymore. Art is bigger. The panels are bigger, more detailed, and really, and you get fewer pages. You're only getting 20 pages of story nowadays and a 32 page comic. So I can understand why we've gotten away from it, but it's fun when you look back on these comics and they have these sort of recaps in there. So anyway, as we turn the page after those two pages of recap, we're on chapter 3, Enter the Redemption Principle. And we see that Thanos has opened a portal and Pip the Troll, Adam Warlock, and Gamora are coming onto his ship. And Thanos is explaining that in the midst of battle, it's not possible for him to mentally phase or transport more than one person. So once he knew they were safe, once they had gotten below the castle or the palace or the temple or whatever you want to call it, into the catacombs, he was able to transport himself. While he kept all the Black Knights occupied, everybody escapes, he transports himself, and now that he's safe on his ship of Sanctuary One, then he reaches out and he's able to transport them all safely there. So as soon as Pip the Troll sets foot on Sanctuary, though, he starts floating away. He doesn't have the weight that the others do, so Thanos has to give him some magnetic boots to walk around. And Thanos isn't even doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He mentions, I need you to wear these boots and keep them magnetized so you can stay on the floor and it'll keep you from floating around damaging any of the equipment that I have here. So Adam Warlock is saying, I sense tremendous forces in this sanctuary. Do you have the ability to shatter a planet perhaps? And obviously he's thinking of, can we just destroy the homeworld with Magus on it? And then that'll end our problems. And Thanos is not willing to commit. He says, well, if the need arises, maybe. But for now, it's just going to serve as our base of operation against the Magus, not his world. Because we are shielded from Sanctuary's might. Had it not be, they would be knocking on our door right now. But you've already sensed that you're tapping into future knowledge. You're already linked to the Magus in a way. You haven't developed all the senses that he's going to have eventually, but you're already starting to gain some of the knowledge he has. That explains why you were able to get through the maze beneath the palace. And Warlock says, okay, yeah, that's true. That's one mystery solved. But why are you going through so much trouble to help me and explain this stuff? And Thanos says, well, would you believe I'm doing it out of the goodness of my heart? And Adam Warlock, you know, he already knows. He can already sense what Thanos is about and says, I sense you don't even have a heart. Thanos replies, well, you're not wrong about that. I do have no heart, but I have dreams, and I once ruled a small world, that being Titan, of course, we know, before I was overthrown, and my vision is to one day rule it again. And in order to rebuild my dreams, I've created certain tools, including this time machine, so that no mystery remains a secret to me. I can see all, I can travel around and know what I need to know. And another tool that I can use to gain my dreams is yourself, or rather the soul gem that you possess. But unfortunately, all my plans and all my dreams and all my machinations, I can't act upon them because your future self stands in my way. And if I continue to let things play out the way they're going, then you yourself are going to be useless to me. And we know that's because if the in-betweener comes and takes Adam Warlock, then it's like the line has been crossed and there's no way to stop the Magus from becoming. So Thanos goes on to say, if I have a choice between facing the Magus as he is and with his level of power or facing you in the future as a threat to my schemes, I'm going to choose you. I'm more likely to be able to defeat you. So in a way, Thanos is kind of giving him a backhanded compliment and insulting him at the same time. You know, terminate, destroy the Magus so that if he has to deal with one of them eventually, it's going to be fighting against Adam Warlock, who he believes will be an easier foe to defeat than the Magus. So again, we knew enemy of my enemy is my friend, true, but we know that Thanos was never about helping or doing the right thing. You know, he's still evil. He's still out for himself. He's still out to rule the galaxy, rule the universe, what have you, kill thousands, if not millions, as a tribute to death itself as an entity. So none of that has changed. So at least we can count on Thanos being Thanos. So he does go on to explain that he sent a time probe in to observe and classify every aspect of Adam Warlock's present and future life. and the data convinced Thanos that he had to get involved directly. And so that's when he sent Gamora out and hoped that Gamora would be able to slay Magus. On the next page, we get another big info dump like Starlin likes to do. And basically this is the kind of the origin, the explanation of how Thanos and Gamora got involved. He said, I found Gamora many years ago on a far off world full of a people called the Zen Hubris, and they were surrounded by the holy forces of the Magus, and the Zen Hubris were our will, which I love that phrasing, because it's is this in the past, is in the future, is it now? We're not quite sure, because you know the whole time thing and Thanos traveling around through space and time. But anyway, he says the Zen Hubris were our will be, a peace loving race whose religious activities stem from reasons of faith alone. Like they believed for the sake of believing, basically. And they refused to bow down to the Church of Universal Truth and what they believed. So they were ordered to be re-indoctrinated, which basically means just destroyed. And so the Magus's forces surrounded them and destroyed them with their death-dealing rays. But at the last moment, Thanos saved Gamora. And even though she survived, she had such a hatred for Magus and his people that she was easily able to be manipulated and molded to Thanos's plan. So he raised her there on Sanctuary over the years, giving her power and making her at least the physical equal of Adam Warlock himself. Because after all, wasn't she destined to kill Adam Warlock? You know, obviously in the future version as the Magus. And then she sent Gamora out to encounter Adam Strange and hook up with him. And she was able to take her revenge on Inquisitors that she had encountered and kind of earn Adam Warlock's trust. And she said, I hope that this would create a big enough rift, a big enough change to allow Gamora to assassinate the Magus before he could bathe Adam Warlock in the radiation, and that would eventually be a beacon for the in-betweener. But Thanos's belief that a contaminated element from the Magus's future might be introduced into his present to disrupt his past, which is an incredible sentence, great sentence structure there by Starlin, but it didn't work, right? Because at the last instant, the Magus's godlike senses detected and revealed Gamora, and she wasn't able to complete her mission. So even though this assassination proved futile, there's still hope, and the hope is suicide. Thanos says, your suicide. So meanwhile, back on the homeworld, Magus is furious with General Agus about Thanos escaping and the rest of the crew escaping as well. And at least the enemy stands revealed, Magus says, though. My secret foe has been revealed to me at last. My intelligence services have warned me of Thanos' power and how he could become a threat. And of course, it would take a keen and powerful mind like his to have come up with the plan that allowed Adam Warlock, Gamora, Pip the Troll to escape in the first place. And he's powerful enough that even though Magus has bathed Adam Warlock in the energy that's going to bring the in-betweener, Magus is still worried. Like he's clever enough. He might be able to find a way to defeat me. I don't think so. My roots are too deeply rooted in the cornerstones of order and chaos for Thanos to affect me, for I'm pure life and only I can determine my future. But it's probably best to eradicate Warlock, or locate rather Warlock and Thanos to avoid any future trouble. But they don't know where he is because as Thanos told the rest of the crew, Sanctuary is shielded from the sensors of Homeworld. And so they don't know where he is. But remember, Adam Warlock has been bathed in that energy, that radiation, and the in-betweener is on his way. So all Magus has to do is track where the in-betweener is headed. When he does that, he's able to locate Thanos's space arc. And he's kind of suspicious though, because when he does locate it, he notices the defense screens are down, which allows him to send a spy beam in to examine what's going on. And when he sees what they're planning and he sees the time probe, he summons his general and says, hey, bring your death squad. This devil Thanos is a lot more dangerous than I thought. With this time probe, he may find a way to defeat me. So he then creates a portal through an alternate dimension. And he says, I'm going to lead the army myself. The stakes have become too high. And, you know, Warlock has fallen into the hands of a demon who's, you know, far more diabolical than I thought. So follow me, you blood red assassins. I've got work for you this day. We're going to slay all of them except for the infidel Warlock. Leave him alone, for he is mine. And meanwhile, back in Sanctuary, Thanos is convincing Adam Warlock that he needs to commit suicide. He's saying, you know, I speak the truth. Use that portion of your mind that already has knowledge from the Magus, and you'll see that your suicide is the only way to defeat your other self. You know, and even then, your self-destruction, it needs to be carried out at exactly the right moment by means of my time probe, or it will be useless. And Adam Warlock is forced to agree with Thanos. He says, you know, you're right. I'm following your train of thought. It's not my physical body that menaces us, but the vile entity my soul is destined to become. So this being the case, the only way I can stop him is by killing myself. And I alone can do that. So start your time vehicle, Thanos, for Adam Warlock is now prepared to destroy his own soul. And that's how the episode, or the issue rather, ends. So again, great stuff from two cosmic cornerstones of the Marvel Universe, Thanos and Adam Warlock. We start to understand why they are so entwined. They've been through so much together. And this is it. This is what they've gone through. And again, Thanos helping, but for his own selfish purposes. And the high drama and the melodrama and the over-the-top flowery dialogue of Starlin, and of course the incredible art, which he was probably one of the first creators whose art I could recognize and absolutely loved. And I was like, man, whenever he's drawing something, I have to pick it up. I have to read it because it's so amazing, whether it's, you know, psychedelic with him constantly doing things in his stories to warp reality, to play with perspective and shapes and all that kind of stuff. It's just really, really great. So I'm a big fan of Starlin, as you all know. You know, he's been on the show a couple times, and love what he's doing here, playing with the ideas of good versus evil. And, you know, with this character, Adam Warlock, it's such a great marriage. I mean, Starlin created Thanos himself, so he is of Starlin, and so then behaves and is evolves the way Starlin wants to evolve him. But when you think about a Marvel creation that came before Starlin, but it's perfectly suited for him, it's Adam Warlock, right? When you think about him being the perfection of humanity personified and being absolutely morally upright to the absolute, and how that can be corrupted. And here we see with the Magus, who is a force for life, but yet is sort of evil in that way, you know, taking it to the extreme, kind of like, you know, a rogue AI that says, you know, is programmed to protect humanity at all costs, and then eventually evolves to the point where protecting humanity means subjugating it. It's sort of the same thing with the Magus here, the Magus. He's so good, and he's such an example of life that he must be in charge of everything to protect everybody and have everybody worship him because he's God and God is good. And so, yeah, these great sort of philosophical concepts that Starlin loves to explore, and we get to come along for the ride with great art and dynamic panel layouts, and as I said, kind of this flowery, majestic dialogue. So, as I said, classic stuff. Always enjoy checking out Jim Starlin stuff, especially back in this era of comics where things were a bit more simple and not as complicated. A simpler time with really impactful stories. So hope you enjoyed it. Hope you continue to join us for these Marvel chronologies, checking out the Thanos reading order. As always, want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.